All right. What we're going to be doing a fellowship on is a teaching I've been working on. It's called Feeling Forsaken. And at some time in all of our lives, we're going to feel like we've been forsaken by Yahweh. We have a prayer, we're supplicating for a desired result, and it doesn't come to pass, or something goes wrong, or somebody dies, or many, many reasons. So we must be able to adjust ourselves for these situations to see what is happening, why does this happen, what to expect, and how to combat it. If it comes down to negative, which many people will say, you know, I just talked to a customer today, and she said pray for her grandchild because she's not saved, and he says his baby was born, and the baby was born with diabetes, so obviously juvenile diabetes, and he said if there was a God, that would have happened. And that's a very standard response, you know. I mean, but we have to have the reason to show them what has actually happened, and what can transform, and get to see the God that we serve, which is Yahweh. All right, so we know when things are good, everybody's going to praise Yahweh. No problem there. When things are bad, just leave it. When things are bad, that's when things start turning. And we have a lot of people, just leave it, sit down. Here, get to your page now. Come on, you already got to jump on me. You and Milan, you got to jump. We're training them how to use the Bible, which is very important for every children to get used to the Bible. Hey, you're in the New Testament. Well, I know, it's all right. Come on. Old Testament, it says OT right over on the side.
Yeah, but I went to
are you in, are you on Habakkuk?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, maybe I just misread it. Sorry. Good. So we're training them. All right. So we're going to go to Habakkuk 3:19. And so for people, it's 8:95.
Okay.
Good. Well, I'm sorry. I thought you were in the New Testament.
Let's see. 4.
Most people don't ever go to Habakkuk. It's only, what is it, two pages? The Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 to 19. Melania, come on. What page are we on? There you go. No, come on.
Oh, there's
a page. Yeah, there's a page number. Be patient right here. I did this for them. Now look, what page does that say?
895.
What does it say?
895.
Why were you on these other pages?
Because I was looking for...
No, no, just look. Here it is, 895. And then you're going to see verse 3, 21 to 28. Is that what it is?
No,
17, I mean, I was looking at the wrong thing. 3, 17 to 19.
Oh.
There you go. All right. Although the fig tree should not blossom and there be no sprouting in the vines, the yield of the olive should have deceived, and the fields not have brought forth food, the flock have been consumed out of the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, things look pretty bad. Yet I and Yahweh will do what?
Rejoice.
I will exude in the Elohim of my salvation. Isn't that cool? So here somebody says, regardless of what's going to happen to me, I have made a decision to rejoice with Yahweh. Verse 19, Yahweh, my Lord, is my strength. Therefore hath he made my feet like hinds, and those are deer feet, and upon my high places will he cause me to march along to the chief musicians on my double harp. What we're going to do is learn about bad times. You know, it's nice to hear about good times, which is very important. And so when you see Andrew Womack and Kenneth Copeland, people like that, it's great. You know, we want healings, we want deliverance. But we know many times that's not going to happen. And so we must be able to get adjusted to say, well, if it doesn't happen, and we'll go through the reasons why it might happen, might not happen, is how are we going to handle it? So we have to get convicted in our heart to be positioned for this and not to dump on Yahweh. So we're going to see that Yahweh will not forsake the righteous. And like I quote too, he does not forsake who?
Righteous.
The righteous. All right, so you have to understand, and this is a preface, if you're walking in wickedness, very simply, if you're a criminal, Yahweh's not going to help you. Was he going to forsake you? Absolutely. Why would he help you in a crime?
Right.
You know, why would he help you not be arrested? Was that forsaken? Absolutely. I hope he would forsake you. He's not going to get his hands dirty on wickedness. And so you have to understand, and this is the problem with many of the teachings today, where the unconditional love, which is not in the word anyplace, that no matter what you do, Yahweh will not love you anymore. And what you don't do, Yahweh will not love you anymore. So it's obviously just sad to be able to look at a situation where Yahweh loves everybody the same, regardless of whether you kill somebody or you don't kill somebody. Whether you save somebody's life or you murder somebody's life, Yahweh loves both people the same. Well, what kind of teaching is this? You know, what is this? Where did this come from? I don't see any of these statements that people say they're in here. So we go to Psalms 37. Good. You already there? Good. And so you can stay one step ahead.
I know, but...
Well, that's good. I was looking at Elijah. So Elijah's already there. So this is an experiment. So I did an experiment where I laid all the pages out.
Are you on page 5?
So they can be on a jump. Psalms 37, 27. Let me get my watch off, so I don't go past the time. Here's our promises. Turn from evil and do good, and so settle down unto time's age abiding. For Yahweh loveth justice. Isn't that great? Yahweh loveth justice, and will not forsake his men of loving kindness. There's the forsaking. Unto time's age abiding, having the perverse been destroyed, and the seat of the lawless have been cut off, the righteous shall inherit the earth, that they may settle down to futurity thereupon. Yahweh will not forsake the righteous. So even though sometimes we're going to feel forsaken, we are never forsaken if we're walking in the light. Psalms 94. Verse 12 through 15. How happy the man whom thou correctest, O Yah. How many people like to be corrected? But this is good though. If you are trying to accomplish a task and doing it incorrectly, why would you not want somebody to correct you so you can actually perform the task and accomplish your goal? Otherwise, you're going to say, don't correct me, and you're going to keep trying to... You know, off the subject, but the Chrysler's used to have, on the left side of the car, the lug nuts were counterclockwise. On the right side, they were clockwise. And so I was on the left side, and you're trying to take a wheel off, and instead of trying to unscrew it, on the left side, you've got to tighten it. Mm-hmm. Got to do it. And I'm back there trying to break this thing with cheating bars and everything else, and I would have broken off unless the correction comes and say, whoa. So correction is good. He's had the point. 12 through 15. Let me start over. How happy the man whom thou correctest, O Yah, and whom out of thy law hath instructed, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of misfortune, until there be digged for the lawless man a pit. For Yahweh will not abandon his people. So that's what my point is. Yahweh will not abandon his people. And inheritance will he not forsake. So no matter how we feel, we, if you're walking in righteousness, will never be forsaken. And unto righteousness shall be judicial sentence returned, then shall follow it all the upright in heart. We have to remember, let's go to Romans 8, 31. We're going to be doing quite a few verses. Might have to cut it short. A little digression. You know, that we have to be sharp, sharp by the word. I asked, you know, I've been communicating with a guy from Kenya, and I asked him what his statement of beliefs was, and he says, it's what the Word of God says. And I said, well, what is that statement of belief? He said, everything from Genesis to Revelations, I believe. And I said, what Bible do you read out? And then if it's, he says, the King James. Well, then your statement of beliefs are going to be wrong in many areas, because there's thousands of errors in the King James Bible. So if you're going to base your statement of beliefs on that, you have to be on the Greek and Hebrew text is what you're going to have to be on. And why I say that, we're on Facebook today, and here's a nice picture, and it says, prayer moves mountains. Right? You ever heard that?
Mm-hmm.
What would you say?
Wrong.
Faith moves mountains. Wrong. I mean, it comes from a Christian place. No, it's not faith and prayer moves mountains. It is faith moves mountains. That's Mark 11:24 and 1 Corinthians 13:3. So I correction. Faith. But it's that subtlety that's constantly, you know, trying to turn us from, you know, from the light unto darkness, and through religious fears it comes through. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If Yahweh is for us, who shall be against us? He at least, who his own son did not spare, but in behalf of us all delivered him up, how shall he not also with him all things bestow upon us in favor, bestow us in favor, bestow upon us, let me do that sentence again. How shall, I've been memorized it, and I'm doing a memory work instead of reading it. And how shall he not also with him all things upon us in favor bestow? So it really comes down to, Yahweh gave his son, what will he not give you? And so everything that we desire, everything that you desire for your children, if they're working or walking in righteousness, Yahweh desires tenfold. And so when life doesn't go the way we planned, it is not because of him.
Right.
We go to 1 John 3:16. So we have to get this right off the bat. Yahweh is not the cause of our problems. Many times, and we'll find out what is the cause of our problems. John 3, 1 John 3:16 through 18. Hereby have we come to understand love, in that he, for us, his life laid down. Isn't that just great? Golly. That he, his life, laid down. Not only alive, he was tortured to death. And we ought, for the brethren, our lives to lay down. So should Yahweh also obey those rules? Absolutely. But whosoever hath this world's goods, and beholdeth his brother having need, and shutteth up his tender affections from him, how is the love of God abiding in him? Does Yahweh have to obey that commandment?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. If a physician sees somebody with a broken arm and knows how to fix it and does not fix it, how dwells the love of God in him? If Yahweh sees a broken, a sick person and had the ability to heal that sick person as a physician would and refused to, then he's breaking his own commandment. And he is love. So we can never say that it's Yahweh's holding something back from us. Now, if you're in darkness, absolutely. You know, many times it'd be good that you died. You know, if you're Hitler, all right, that's not a good thing to be alive, because you're killing millions of people. So, I mean, if you're walking in that kind of witness, Stalin or Hitler or Pol Pot or people like that, they're absolutely witness. The best thing that can happen is that they die. But we understand with Yahweh, has to obey his rules. First and foremost, we're going to realize that why bad things can happen to good people. We did teachings on this, but first is the law that religion does is God is not in control. And then you can see that in our teaching on Teleios, Volume 1, very simply, God is not in control and God is not sovereign. And sovereign means omnipotent, all-powerful. You just break everybody else as they would say, heresy, 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 heretic. The word, since we have freedom of will, he has tied his hands by giving us freedom of will. If God, if Yahweh is all-powerful and is in control, then that means every crime that's committed, he is an accessory to the fact. He's guilty on every crime that's ever been committed. If he could have stopped it, and I told somebody it was about ready to happen and did not do so, then he's a criminal. So, just got to get rid of his lies, and that's what makes people mad, because if they say Yahweh's in control, or Yahweh's sovereign, and my child died, or my child is born with no legs, or my child is born deformed, you know, or my child was burned beyond recognition. These things really, really hurt. And when the church says God could have stopped that, but he didn't, how do you think people feel? Well, that's just wickedness. That's just sick. That's not love. Now, if what people say, if God is in control, or he is sovereign, as people say, then we would arrest him for breaking the law. You know, if you know a rape is about ready to happen, and you do nothing about it, and allow that to happen, you should be arrested, very simply. And that's called an accessory. So we have to get rid of that. But go to volume 1 of Tellier's book. Adam and Eve are the problem. Adam and Eve chose evil. They took of the tree of good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil. They already knew what good was. I guess they want to know what evil was. And so we got a chance of what it is. And so all things that happen that we have negatively to a great extent is corruption. And that's the fallen earth. So we go back to Romans chapter 8, 20. So when people ask you, why did this happen? You can say, if it wasn't their fault, I mean, if you're a heroin addict and your baby is born addicted to heroin, what was your fault? Why did this happen? You know, if you were drunk and you wrecked into a tree and cut off your arm, what was your fault? So we're talking about things that people are doing righteously and it's not their fault.
What, would you repeat the verse, please?
Yeah, Romans 8, verse 20. Then you can right off and say it's because of Adam and Eve. Or it's because of our fathers. So sometimes our fathers in countries have lived a lawless life and accepted communism or socialism. And so now I am born into a country that is wicked. And who was at fault? Well, it wasn't necessarily Adam and Eve. Because they weren't around. It was my fathers and my grandfathers and everybody else who did not fight for justice, or my neighbors who allowed this to happen. And that's where I'm born, in a terrible country where people are starving. And so you saw that in Russia, many places, that people are starving because the communist system broke down and rewarded nobody, and the crops decayed in the field, and so people die of starvation. And it's because of our fathers. You know, so Napoleon, when he took over, and people supporting wickedness, that's what happened. So they're responsible for that. But if you're living righteously and it wasn't your father's, then things that happen can be because of Adam and Eve's sin. And so that's Romans 8, verse 20 and 22, which is, for unto vanity hath creation been made subject, not by choice, but by reason of him that made it subject, in hope that creation itself also shall be free from the bondage of the decay into the freedom of the glory of the sons of Yahweh. So our creation is decaying because of what Adam and Eve did. And we were sold into slavery when Adam and Eve did that. So we know Eve was deceived. That was her fault. And Adam's fault was he gave his affections to Eve over Yahweh, because it says he was not deceived. So why did he go along? Because he judged his wife better than Yahweh. And that's rebellion. And that's a bad situation too. And so sometimes in any of our married lives, the person has to stand on righteousness, whether the other person is going to leave or hate your guts anyway. If it says, that's the way it's, I stand with Yahweh. And the person says, well, if you do that, I'm leaving. so be it. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. So everybody has to make that decision. Adam's did not make that decision correctly. He followed Eve instead of Yahweh. So we know why things are bad. Let's see here. Whoop, I'm already halfway through. Adam and Eve. The second thing is, with faith, all things are possible. So we have to take responsibility. Why didn't it come to pass? Because I didn't believe. And that is in Mark 9:23. Yeah, don't worry about it, Elijah. Just leave it alone. You go ahead and follow. Thank you. And she will get it next time. I don't want you to be distracted. 9:23. And this is great. This is the case where the person, his son is demonized and he wants him delivered and the demon's not coming out. And he comes up to Yahushua and says, can't you do something? And so Yahushua comes up and says, and Yahushua said unto him, as for this, if it be possible to thee, all things are possible to him who hath faith. And so, I have illness or weaknesses. My body's not doing what it's designed to do. Why am I not healed? Because my faith lacks. And why do I have it in the first place? So I got a finger that's not working right with some kind of arthritis. Why isn't that working right? Because that's whose fault? Adam and Eve. Because that's when sin and death came into the world. Sickness, disease, everything. So that's Adam and Eve's originally. But I have been given the ability to believe that to be healed. I have not done that. So it's whose fault that that's still there? It's mine. That's right. But the good point is, and the rest about all things are possible, we won't go there, but that's Mark 11:24. If you speak unto this mountain and shall not doubt, it shall come to pass. Very simple thing. It's undisputable. So I have to take the responsibility. The good point is, maybe this is never going to be the way it's supposed to. But in the new earth, it will be. So when all else going on, this life is 70, 80, 90, or 100 years. If we had on the next life 1,000 years, fabulous. How about 1 million years? 1 million years, fabulous. How about forever? There's not even 1 million years. With a perfect body. With the Creator. And guess who's not going to be there? The evil people. There are not going to be anybody who mocks Christ, who mocks Christians. They're all, where are they, Elijah? Where are they?
Who?
The evil people. When we get to the new earth.
They're going to be on this earth.
No, nope, they're thrown into the lake of fire. They're burned up. They're gone forever. They shall be apolumai. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not apolumai, but have life, age of body, and perish. Apolumai, to be destroyed. They will be destroyed. Thank you, Father, that they're finally gone. They're look what they did to Paul. Whipped him so many times. Beat him with rods, threw him in prison. Those people, gone. Hallelujah. So that's what you have to get people to focus on. First, it's not Adam and Eve. It was Adam and Eve who did it. Second is my faith has the ability to do it. Third, if my faith doesn't live up to the situation, I die. Okay. But then I get all brand new body and on the new earth. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, so if you feel forsaken, you grab that. Let's study a few people who have felt forsaken. And that's Martha and Mary. So let's go to John 11. Verse 1 and 3. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, of the village of Mary and Martha, her sister. And Mary was she who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. The sisters therefore sent out unto him, saying, Lord, see, he whom thou tenderly lovest is sick. No, this is a life-threatening illness. What happens? He doesn't come. Do you think they feel forsaken?
Yeah.
Guess what happens to their brother, Elijah? Mm-hmm. What happens to Lazarus?
He dies.
Yeah, he dies. Man, that stinks. Now we go to verse 17. Yahushua therefore coming found that 4 days already had he been in the tomb. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many from among the Jews had come unto Martha and Mary, that they might console them concerning their brother. Martha therefore, when she heard that Yahushua was coming, went to meet him. But Mary in the house remained sitting. A little depressed, your brother's dead. Mm-hmm. And guess the person who could have healed him didn't show up.
Yeah.
Ow. Sometimes do we feel that way?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I prayed. Mm-hmm. I have given tithes. I have lived for you. I work in the nursing homes. I teach Bible, Sunday schools. The little thing I ask is to heal this situation, and you didn't show up? Martha therefore said unto Yahushua, Lord. Look at that exclamation point. Lord, pause. 21. If thou hast been here, my brother had not died. And now I know that whatsoever thou shalt ask of Yahweh, Yahweh will give unto thee. And Yahushua said unto her, thy brother shall rise. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise in the resurrection in the last day. Isn't that wonderful? Instead of saying, I'm done. You're not the Messiah. If you would have been the Messiah, this would have never happened. All right, I'm done with Judaism. There is no God. Everything else? No. She went right on to stage 3, the new earth, the hope of all of us. And as we know, we're kind of running behind schedule, so as we know, does the same thing with Mary, and he gets resurrected. But guess what? Lazarus eventually is going to do what? He's going to die. He's going to die again and not get up. Now we go to Abram and Sarah. Abram. And so A-B is for father. Abram and Sarah. Genesis 12, verse 1. Well, we don't even have to. Oh, yeah, let's go there. Let's go to 12, verse 1.
First of all.
What a great people. And Yahweh said unto Abram, come thou on thy way out of thy land and out of the place of thy birth and out of the house of thy father unto the land that I will show thee, that I may make thee into a great nation and bless thee and make great thy name and become thou a blessing. Hallelujah. What a great intro. You're 75 years old. I think Sarah was 10 years younger or something. Mm-hmm. Guess what? You're going to have children. Become a great nation. Hallelujah. Boy, and you go out on the other hand, and guess what happens? As we realize in chapter 15, verse 1, after these things came the word of Yahweh unto Abram in a vision, saying, do not fear, Abram. I am a shield unto thee, thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, my Lord Yahweh, what canst thou give me when I am going on childless? Felt forsaken? Mm-hmm. Wait a minute, you said I'm going to be a father of many nations, and it's been maybe, I don't know, 10 years, 5 years. And that's having sexual intercourse with your wife, you know, all the time. And then years have gone by. I mean, you're like, just like it was. This is the way it was when we got married. Yikes. Forsaken, 16, verse 1. But Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had more of an Egyptian handmaid whose name was Hagar. So then Sarah said unto Abram, behold, I pray thee, Yahweh hath restrained me from bearing. All right, so she doesn't understand either. Go, I pray thee, unto my handmaid, peradventure I may be built up from her. And so she's struggling. She feels forsaken. So we're not going to do it my way. Go this way. 17:1. Now, Hagar gives a child, so who's the problem? No children. Between Abram and Sarah.
Sarah.
Ow, Abram hurts worse. And Abram hurts, it's my fault. You know, he's fertile. You know, it could have been, you gave him to Hagar and there's no children. Okay, at least we're both infertile. Maybe I'm still fertile. You know, but now you know it's your fault. Ah, that really feels forsaken too. 17:1. And it came to pass when Abram was 99, he started out when he was 75. It's been 24 years on a promise. Yahweh appeared unto him, and we know what happened is they got their child. We'll end up right there. But that was 24 years. I said, I know you said this, but tick-tock, I'm 100 years old. And now, in my opinion, in order to have sexual intercourse, the man has to be, must be able to have an erection, or you cannot conceive. There's a place where a man becomes impotent. He can no longer have an erection. And then if Yahweh says, okay, time to have a baby, and Abraham's going, sorry, man, you know, I'm 99. I used to have that. It's not happening anymore. So now he's got to believe. So that's why I think of what happened here. Sarah's got to believe. Abraham didn't have to believe the first time. He was potent. So he didn't have to believe. There's no faith there. It was natural. He had the ability. But then he had to believe. And that's why I think he says, I'm 99. I think that's saying, it's not happening. All right? And Yahweh says it will happen. And so guess what? He goes, okay, it's time to go have sexual intercourse again. That's how you have babies. It's not a bad word. And guess what? He was potent to what age? 175. Yeah. He had like 600, 700 kids later on. After Sarah died, when she's 135, so he's like 145, and he's popping out kids. Man, that's a great healing. It's a great story. But that's it. Okay. Now we get into the Psalms 22. He absolutely felt forsaken. Now, everybody's familiar with this, but they got the wrong idea. My El, or my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Far from saving me, the words of my loud lamentation. My God, I keep crying by day, and thou hast not answered, and by night, and there is no rest for me. Wow. So Christ quoted this on the cross. Mm-hmm. He's quoting Psalms 22. He is not saying that he's forsaken. The psalmist is not going to say he's forsaken either. We don't read the rest of the psalm. He felt forsaken, and so we're all going to feel sometimes forsaken. But we know we're not forsaken, because look at verse 3. But I'm going to curse Yahweh. No, but thou art holy, who inhabiteth the praise of Israel. In thee trusted our fathers, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. Unto thee made they outcry and escaped. In thee they trusted and had not turned pale. Okay, bam, bam, bam. That's just the opposite of being forsaken. You do not forsake. Now if we go to verse, 22-24. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. This is not a person who feels forsaken. In the midst of the convocation will I praise thee. Ye that revere Yahweh, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. And stand in awe of him, or fear of him, all you seed of Israel. For he hath not despised, nor abhorred the humbling of the patient one, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried for help unto them, he what? He heard. Right? So you're going to have these lies that, you know, that Yahweh forsook Yahushua on the cross, and that's baloney. God help. Because he turned to sin, and God can't stand sin. You've got every other reason trying to figure this out. And we won't go there. But if you go to John 16:32, he says, my Father is always with me. John 8:16, my Father will never leave me. John 8:29, it's all right there. So Yahweh would not leave his son at that particular time. So what is the explanation? Yahushua is on the cross quoting Psalms 22. Because it's about him. And that's so people can see this is the Messiah, because he's quoting Psalms 22, because they knew Psalms 22 was the Messiah. And so Psalms 22 is a happy ending. Now we go to Job. And so here's the... Okay, here's Job. And this is the point of cursing Yahweh. So when bad things come, we'll have it, we have a chance to praise Yahweh, or we're going to curse him. And let's see what Job does. Job 1, verse 6. Where's your sheet, Elijah? All this right there? Everything's right there. Every verse I've got.
He's there.
Pardon me?
He's there.
Oh, you're good. Oh, I thought you were telling the page.
I was, but I looked down and he started. He's
okay, good. Well, yeah, that's good. That's what I was talking
about. I don't know what page it is. Where is it?
500. Chapter 1, verse 6. Well, let me explain this for you. This is not about Job. I'm going to use that example. What appears to happen in Job cannot be. And so many times, Father Bullinger would say very simply, many times we do not understand what a verse means, but we can absolutely know what it does not mean. Yahweh is a God of loving kindness, justice, and righteousness. So what appears to happen cannot be, because it breaks all his rules. All right, so what exactly happens? You know, that's a whole other teaching, done a paper on that. This is one big poetic work. It's 40 chapters. The book of Ephesians is 6 chapters. Now, this could have been 3 chapters in the story. But it's 40 chapters of dialogue, back and forth and back and forth. So it's a great poem, the whole thing through. So the poem is from chapter 3, verse 3 to chapter 42. And Bullinger does that. He puts it all in meter. So it's just great, but it's not what you think or what people say. Yahweh is not going to give the adversary to say, go beat up on that person and see how good he is. And oh, by the way, you can kill his kids, just don't kill him. Oh, what is that? Because you have to say, well, Job learned something. Well, what did his kids learn? They're all dead. I mean, the kids didn't learn anything when you're dead. And so they can't do that. But look what this message is. So think of this many times, I think, is as an allegory. When Yahushua gave the parables about the rich young ruler and this happened and this happened and this happened, an allegory is a rich man and Lazarus is also an allegory. It's there to teach a lesson. You know, the rich young ruler is beating his servants. Well, that's not Yahweh beating his servants, but he's still giving the allegory. Let's go on to verse 1, 6 to 11. Now, there was a certain day when the sons of Elohim, which are messengers, and these must be evil messengers, entered in to present themselves unto Yahweh. So the accuser also entered in their midst. And Yahweh said unto the accuser, whence comest thou? And the accuser answered Yahweh and said, from going to and fro in the earth and wandering about therein. And Yahweh said unto the accuser, hast thou applied thy heart unto my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a man blameless and upright, one revering Yahweh and avoiding evil? And we know that all Scripture says, if you're righteous, you will never be forsaken. And the accuser answered Yahweh and said, is it for naught that Job reveres Elohim? Has not thou thyself made a hedge about him and about his house and about that he hath on every side? The work of his hands thou hast blessed, and his substance has broken forth in the land. But in very deed, put forth, I pray thee. So Yahushua, or the adversary, or the messenger, or the accuser, is challenging Yahweh. Which obviously, this is you know, an allegory. I pray thee that thy hand and smite all that he hath, verily unto thy face will he curse thee. There it is. And so take away what a person has, and the adversary will, he'll curse you. And that would please our adversary, he won. And so if you can curse Yahweh like he curses Yahweh, he has done a great battle and won a great victory. Now we look in verse 20, after, you know, everything got wiped out except for his health. So Job gets hit in two places, all of his family and all of his material goods gone. Then Job arose and rent his robe and shaved his head and fell to the earth and worshiped and said, I hate Yahweh. No. Naked came I forth from the womb of my mother, and naked must I return thither. Yahweh gave, and Yahweh hath taken away. The name of Yahweh be blessed. Wow. And so that's the same way with us. I vow, no matter what happens to me in this life, I am going to praise Yahweh. Ha! And there's Job. Now we're going to let's take his health and see if he does the same thing. And verse 22, in all this, Job said not nor imputed folly unto Yahweh, unto Elohim. So when we blame Yahweh, what are we doing? Imputing folly unto Elohim. And there came a certain day when the sons of Elohim entered in to present themselves unto Yahweh. So the accuser also entered in their midst to present himself unto Yahweh. And Yahweh said unto the accuser, whence comest thou? And the accuser answered Yahweh and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from wandering about therein. And Yahweh said unto the accuser, hast thou applied thy heart unto my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a man blameless and upright, one who revereth Elohim and avoideth evil, and still he is holding fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to swallow him up without cause. You know, and this reminds you of, it's a great illustration of Greek gods.
Yeah, I was thinking the same.
Yeah, you start thinking of that Zeus and with, you know, Hades and your Apollo, and you're doing this conversation back and forth about men. And so I think it's a great lesson. So the whole point is, what is the lesson? What is trying to be communicated? Then the accuser answered Yahweh and said, skin for skin. And so all that a man hath will he give for his soul, for his life. In very deed put forth, I pray thee, thy hand, and smite unto his bone and unto his flesh. Verily unto thy face will he what?
Curse
thee. Same thing he wants to happen. And Yahweh said unto the accuser, we'll stop there. And let's go to... Let's see here, verse 9. Then said his wife, and he got his health completely destroyed. Then said his wife unto him, art thou still holding fast thy integrity? Curse Elohim and die. Now I got the adversary saying curse Yahweh. Now I've got my wife saying curse Yahweh. And he said unto her, isn't this great? As one of the base women speaketh thou. Blessing shall we accept from Elohim, and misfortune shall we not accept. In all this, Job sinned not with his lips. Incredible. Job sinned not with his lips. And as we know at the end, I've done pretty good. At 42 verse 7, chapter 42 verse 7. And then we're going to find out, I guess we're not going to go to verse 7, but Yahweh speaks these words unto Job and says, I want you to pray for these three these three men that have been trying to give you advice. And verse 10, and Yahweh himself turned the captivity of Job when he prayed to be after his friends, and Yahweh increased all that Job had possessed unto twice as much. And so we get to see the whole point was curse Yahweh, because when things go bad, curse him, and he would not. Deuteronomy 31. We must remember, Yahweh will forsake us, and he should, if we walk in wickedness. Deuteronomy 31, verse 14. Yes. Okay, you're going to read 14 through 18, 31, and I want you to, that's quite a bit. Go ahead. Okay, Melania, you guys read it together. If you get tired, let Elijah take over. Remember, Melania, speak loud. 14 through 18.
Dang it, just lost my place. Then said Yahweh unto Moses, lo, let the days have drawn near, that thou must die. Call Joshua, and station yourselves in the tent of meeting, that I may command him, So Moses went with Joshua, and they took their
station
in the tent of meeting. And Yahweh appeared in the tent in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood at the entrance of the tent. Yahweh unto Moses, Lo, thee art about to sleep with my fathers, and this people will rise up and go away of the land into the mist.
No, you skipped a sentence.
Oh.
Go away unchastely.
Unchastely after the gods of the
foreigners.
Foreigners. Of the land unto the mist of womb. They are entering and will forsaken me and break my covenant which I solemnized with them.
And they let Elijah go of 17 and 18. Okay.
Then will mine anger kindle upon them in that day, and I will forsake them and will hide my face from them, and they shall be consumed in many
calamities
and misfortunes shall find them out, and they will say in that day, it is not because my God is not in my midst that these calamities have found me not out. But I will utterly hide my face in that day because of all the wickedness which they have done, and that they have turned away to other gods.
Very simply, so if you turn into wickedness, Yahweh will, you know, he can't have any part of that. He's a God of justice and righteousness and loving kindness. You must fit into those frames. If you turn, he's not with you. All you got to do is turn back, and he will be with you. So if you confess our sins, he is faithful and just, forgives our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So much time we got? Let's look at one more in Isaiah chapter 1. And so this is unpopular to think that Yahweh will forsake you. He will forsake you in your endeavors. You can still have life age abiding. But like any parent, if I have a daughter who is dealing in cocaine, she's not going to live in my house. Is that forsaking her? Absolutely. She has forsaken herself. She's out. Am I going to give her money? No, I'm not going to give her money. Very simply, so this is nothing unusual. This is what righteousness is all about.
When you forsake
is that conditional? Yes, it is conditional. If I will help you if you do righteousness, but I'm not going to help somebody who is going to hurt other people. Why would I give money to somebody who's going to hurt other people so they could buy more drugs? Well, that's conditional. Yeah, absolutely, it's conditional. Of course, it is. So Isaiah chapter 1, look what Yahweh says in 10 through 20. Hear the word of Yahweh, you rulers of Sodom. Now think of this. And the United States is that today. They've just, not by the people, but judges have legalized sodomy in the United States. Not because of the people. So there's an overthrow of our system by judges. And so now the United States could be officially called Sodom. Right? Just like Jerusalem was called Sodom. Give ear to the instructions of our Elohim, ye people of Gomorrah. Wow, this is it. Of what use to me is your multitude of sacrifices? So you go, but I go to church, and then I vote for Obama, who's for sodomy. Oh, so you just voted for sodomy, is that right? Yeah, you just voted for marijuana to be legalized. You just have voted for abortion because you voted for the Democratic Party. And then you go to church with your tithe and your offerings. Let's just see what's going to happen to those. It says right here. 11, of what use to me is your multitude of sacrifices, saith Yahweh? I am sated with the ascending offerings of ram and the fat of fed beast and the blood of bulls and young rams and he-goats. Have I no pleasure when you enter to see my face? Who hath required that it is in your hand trampling my courts? If you, in the United States, if you voted for the Democratic Party, you're in sin. The Democratic Party stands for three wickedness. Their platform is abortion, it's sodomy, or what they call homosexual marriages, and it's for covering thy neighbor's goods, which is to tax people and take money from people without taking it from themselves. So that's three of the Ten Commandments broken. That's the Democratic Party. Verse 13. You shall not again bring in an empty present, incense. An abomination is that unto me. New moon and Sabbath, calling an assembly. Let me ask you this. How does Yahweh think about the state of Jerusalem, or the state of Israel right now, doing sacrifices unto him? How does he feel about those sacrifices? Are they counted worth anything?
No.
No, because they reject who?
Christ.
If they reject Christ, it says in 1 John, it says you reject who?
Me.
Your father. So they're not sacrificing to Yahweh. All right? They're no different than a Muslim, Islam. Islam rejects Yahushua. So does... You know, Israel rejects Yahushua. They are unbelievers, and they're both going to be cast in the lake of fire. I would rather live with close to a Jew rather than a Muslim, by all means. So, morally, they're going to be more sound, but they're both going to be thrown in the lake of fire. Sorry, folks. I mean, not sorry, that's just the story. They will not bow to Yahweh after he sent his son. New moon and Sabbath, which they could be doing, new moon and Sabbath, calling an assembly. I cannot endure iniquity and sacred festival. He can't stand the festivals. Your new moons and your appointed seasons, feast, my soul, what?
Hateth.
All right? Wow. They have become unto me a burden I am too weary to bear. Even when you spread forth your open palms, oh, I hide my eyes from you. Yea, though you multiply prayers, I am not hearkening. Your hands with deeds of blood are filled. If you vote for the Democratic Party, you're for abortion, and you're part of that, and you're for sodomy, and your hands are bloody, no matter what you say. Wash you. Here's your way out. Wash you. Make you clean. Put away the wickedness of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek justice. Correct your oppressor. Vindicate the fatherless. Plead the cause of the widow. Come, I pray you, and let us settle the dispute, said Yahweh. Though your sins be found like scarlet as snow, shall they be made white. Though they appear red like crimson, as wool shall they become. This is Israel in the day of Isaiah, as we saw. So that is Yahweh forsaking wickedness. Now, what do we do then with people who have a child who is born with sickle cell anemia? Or what's the other crippling disease where they're all crumbled up in the wheelchair? Pastor
cerebral
just...
Palsy.
Pardon?
Cerebral palsy.
No, there's something else, but it's...
Muscular
dystrophy? Yeah, but I guess all these things can happen. Anything. It's just deforming. A terrible situation. Down the street, we have somebody who's been in a wheelchair all their life. All right? What do we do with these people? Well, we teach them, this came from Adam and Eve's sin. Our faith can make things better, if not heal the person completely. And the new earth is coming. Plus, we can prophesy to you, and you can hear words of edification and comfort. So, the people who have said Yahweh is in control and Yahweh is sovereign were refused many times to do 1 Corinthians 14. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. Yahweh wants to speak about these matters, right? And that's why he gave us spirit, so we can prophesy words of edification, exhortation, and comfort. About 5 minutes later. If you need to take off, go ahead. I'm not last verse. Verse 1. Pursue love, nevertheless be envious of the spiritual, and rather that you may be prophesying. Verse 3. For he that prophesied unto men doth speak edification, exhortation, and comfort. Every one of these children, every one of these parents need to hear from Yahweh. That's going to make their situation guaranteed better. If the person's not healed, the situation is going to melt their hearts, because we see that in verse 24. But if all be prophesying and there come in one who is unbelieving or unskilled, he is convicted by all, he is searched by it, the secrets of his heart become manifested, and so falling down upon his face, he will do homage unto Yahweh, reporting that in reality Yahweh is among you. Oh, wonderful. Verse 39. So then, my brethren, be zealous to prophesy. Do not forbid to be speaking with tongues. We have one whole chapter concerned with prophesying that the Christian church as a whole has ripped it out of their Bible because they refuse to do it. And so when we blame Yahweh for not healing this person or not working in the situation, they are the ones who are not prophesying. So with us, we can prophesy and teach people to prophesy, encourage people to prophesy. Okay. That's it. 5 minutes over. We're going to close with prayer. And then we'll give everybody a prophecy. For the individuals, well, Father, we thank you for these words. We thank you for your direction, where we can see things clearly, that we will never get mad at you. We know what's before us. We know who's responsible. We know you are doing everything in your power to make our life a bed of roses. You would love nothing more. All right, but you know, many times it's not going to be that way. But you know, and the end result, it will be that way. We'll live forever in paradise with you. So we hang on for those moments if we can't get through. And so we thank you for these words for the people who are listening. My sons and daughters, do not look in the future apprehensively, but look in the future with great expectations, great delight, great rewards, great fellowship and communion with me. Walk with me, talk with me, hold hands with me, and go for walks and commune with me daily in order that I may associate with you and come in contact with you and give you words of edification and comfort in order that you may be strong and stronger than when you were when you began, in order that you may be my mouthpiece to the people I send you to, and that you may have words that will build them up as I have built you up.